Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready?
Okay.
All right.
This is an appeal on behalf of Arsblog. Tragedy is a word thrown about too often. So often it almost loses its meaning. An X Factor single not getting to Christmas number one is not a tragedy. A country not qualifying for the World Cup because of a deliberate handball is not a tragedy. A famous golfer having sex with lots of women is not a tragedy. Yet recently we've all witnessed one. It continues to unfold before our very eyes. It has affected tens of thousands of lives and could potentially affect hundreds of thousands more in the months and possibly even years to come. It's all too easy for us to sit back and watch, to do nothing, while those lives continue to suffer through fear and uncertainty. But there is something you can do. You can help. Any donation, no matter how small, could mean so much. To help put an end to Manuel Almunia's goalkeeping, please send what you can to Arsene Wenger, care of Arsenal Football Club, London, England. Thank you.
Hello there and welcome to another Arsblog Arscast right here on arsblog.oleole.com. It is Arscast number 147, which is a very nice number. If you're a snooker fan, you will know that is the perfect break. It is also Philippe Senderos's IQ, and funnily enough, it is the exact number of fouls that Bolton committed over the last two games. Absolutely guarantee you that's true. You know I'd never make something up. Before we get started, a piece of advice, unsolicited as it might be, and useless to the vast majority of you, I'm sure. But if you're ever thinking of doing a podcast, never eat pistachios before you go and try and record anything, because they rid your mouth of all the moisture for a while, and you've got bits of pistachio floating about the place, and then after a while, all the moisture comes back. And you're kind of like, was it spitting at Roy Hattersley on Spitting Image? And you're sort of... So I've got these pistachios here on my desk in front of me. Delicious little cunts that they are. And addictive too, because once you start on pistachios, you're sort of... I'll just have one. Oh, I better have another one. And it ruins you. So leaving aside anything about hardware or software, microphones, cables, recording levels, balance, reverb, where to position yourself, how to speak, editing, any of that, my number one piece of advice for anyone thinking of doing a podcast is to not eat pistachio nuts. And I think if you are going to do a podcast at some point, that would be a relatively easy thing to do. To not eat pistachios. Okay, have I gotten my script? Check. Not eat pistachios. Hey, this is easy. So if you are thinking of it, just bear that in mind. On today's show, I suppose I should tell you what's going on, of course. We'll be having the blog chat as usual. Someone we haven't spoken to before, it is Julian H. from Gingers for Limpar, a blog you may or may not know. I suggest you read it because it is quite funny. And it's not as specialist as it sounds. I'll give you details of that blog in a little while. I will be talking to Julian about all the week's events. As well as that, Arshavin will be here, Sylvester's here, and all the usual crack. Looking ahead to the games coming, team news, injury news. Oh, there's always so much injury news. So we'll have that. a little later on as well, and all the usual bits and pieces in between. So between the last Arscast and this Arscast, we've got on top of the table, which is quite marvellous and very enjoyable and kind of unexpected, because hands up out there, who expected us to be top of the table in mid-January, given where we were at the end of November, start of December? I don't see too many hands. And I know people are more optimistic than other people. That's only natural. It's part of human life. Some people's glasses are half full, others half empty. Others are half full, others are half empty, half full. But I don't think too many people expected us to be top of the league. A 2-0 win, thanks to some Catalan goals from Fran Morita and Cesc Fabregas on Sunday against Bolton. And then, of course, there was the Wednesday night game, which was fun, you have to say. Leaving aside the fact we were 2-0 down. Well, I won't leave it aside. I mean, it's annoying, isn't it? You know, that we gift teams these goals through really silly defending. Diaby and Clichy not exactly covering themselves in glory for the first goal and the second goal. If you can tell me what Danielson was thinking or whether it was just boo, I think that's what it was. Total brain melt. Gave away the penalty. Almunia nearly got it, but... So Bolton are 2-0 up and they're thinking, this is great. 2-0 up, we're going in for halftime. Cup of tea, brilliant. Oh yeah, 2-0 at halftime. And then Rosicki scored that goal. Now Owen Coyle afterwards said that he felt the foul on Mark Davies was the turning point of the game. I disagree. Like the standard Liège game, getting the goal just before halftime, number one, instilled belief in our team that we could go on and score more goals and win the game. And number two, put the shits right up them. It really did. Because they'll be aware that we've done this. They'll be aware that one goal deficit is easily overturned, especially when we're at home, given how many goals that we score. Now, the controversy surrounding the second goal, it was a foul. I don't think it was a malicious foul by Gallas. The guy isn't too badly injured. Now, the referee should have seen it, and he should have given a free kick. But he didn't. We continued to play on and score the goal through Cesc Fabregas. So while you might be critical, or Owen Coyle might be critical of the foul, and rightly so, he should be more critical of the referee for not giving the foul. He can't criticise us for playing on, though. Because a couple of moments after the game restarted, after all the fuss and bother and Bolton players protesting, one of their players got a kick in the head from Vermaelen as they were falling over. It was totally accidental, but he was lying on the ground the same way Davies was, and play went on, and Bolton didn't mind because they had the ball. So they're happy to leave one of their own guys on the ground in a heap when he might be seriously injured. How do they expect us to give a shit? It's a decent question, no? If they don't care, why should we? And especially as it is a Bolton player, why would we give a fish's tit, to be perfectly honest? I hope he's not badly injured, etc., etc., but, you know, I'm not stopping for one of those guys, because they are foully, annoying, niggly cunts, the whole fucking lot of them. Owen Coyle seemed like a decent man when he was at Burnley. It's taken him a week as manager of Bolton to inherit the cunstrousness that comes with that football club. Because let's face it, they are a pack of cloggers who have learned their trade from Sam Allardyce and has been passed down through the others. Megson, you know, while not as offensively physical as Allardyce was, Allardyce would send teams out with explicit instructions, I'm sure, to go and do certain players. We saw that in the past, definitely. So while Megson maybe wasn't quite as cynical as that, he knew the type of players that he had, so he sent them out to be physical and, you know, put themselves about, etc., etc., etc. And the other thing, of course, is that had an Arsenal player been kicked like that or fouled like that and we'd complained about it, we'd be told to shut up, that we're whinging. Arsene Wenger, he'd be called again. So they can go shove it up their cunts, essentially. I don't want to see the young guy injured or out too long, but nor do I have any great sympathy for him. And we do have a bit of previous with Bolton when you think about it. Remember Diaby broke Campo's foot, wasn't it? and Diaby a couple of seasons ago. Was that in the 3-2 game when he got sent off as well for a pretty bad tackle on one of their guys? I can't remember who it was. But I think that's only fair for some of the kickings we've been on the receiving end of from Bolton down the years. So if they want to talk about fair play, let them talk about fair play, because they're just making idiots and hypocrites of themselves. Matt Taylor gloating in front of the Arsenal fans when it was 2-0. Oops. That was a bit premature, wasn't it? Matt Taylor, who missed two great chances at Bolton in the home game. And Matt Taylor, who knelt on Cesc Fabregas' neck, wouldn't let him up, made sure he gave him a little bit of a kick with his shin, then pulled his hair. This is not a girl's fucking playground. Well, you don't see that replayed over and over again. Gallas's foul looked bad. It was bad. It hurt the guy. But it wasn't deliberate. It wasn't intentional. You can't pull somebody's hair by mistake. And if you pull somebody's hair, then you're just a big fucking fanny, as far as I'm concerned. And the rest of your teammates are damned by association. And when you have Kevin Davis up front, all bets are off. So stick it up your holes, and I hope you get relegated. The final two goals, of course, came from... who got the third goal again? Vermaelen. See how quickly I forget things. Vermaelen got the third. Arshavin got the fourth. And should really have given the ball to Theo Walcott to make it 5-2. But, you know, went on his own. What are you going to do? At 4-2, you can't really complain. Theo might have had a word or two in his ear. But, you know, at the end of the day, it didn't really matter. So, top of the league. We won the game by 2 points. Or 2 goals, rather. We go top on goals scored. Of course, Chelsea have a game in hand. But we'll deal with that when we play them and beat them at Stamford Bridge, you see. So, all credit to the lads for dragging themselves back into this title race. I'd love to look at the stats. Is it 22 points out of the last 24? No, it's 20... I don't know what it is. I should have looked at that. Stupid thinking on the go. Anyway, it's quite good. Quite a lot of points out of the last... 27, I think. Could be 20. Yeah, anyway. No, I'm not going to bother looking it up. No, you look it up if you want. I'm not going to. So there. Anyway, we're top of the league, and that's all that really matters. With FA Cup action this weekend, we stay on top of the league, I think, until midweek. I should look that up too. Probably Man United have got a league game, seeing as they're not in the FA Cup. Another podcasting bit of advice, do a little bit of preparation rather than doing it all off the top of your head. It makes you sound a bit more clever. All right then, and to discuss those Bolton games and all the other bits and pieces that have been going on this week, I'm now joined by Julian H. from Gingers for Limpar. Hello there.
Hello, good to be here.
We'll start with Bolton. Obviously that's where all the action is at the moment. Great win on Sunday up there, and then last night a very good win in the circumstances, having been 2-0 down. Is that the kind of game, the kind of performance that makes you really think, hang on, these guys do have a chance of winning the title this season?
Perhaps, yeah. I thought yesterday we relied on Fabregas a lot. I thought Wenger took a big risk in bringing back players like Danielson, who over 90 minutes was pretty dire. And also Creasy, of course, had an awful start, although I thought he made up for it after that. And generally, I think that's why we look weak. And without Fabregas, I think certainly it would have been difficult, if not impossible, to come back from being 2 goals down. Having said that, we do have this tendency to be able to fight through these things at the moment. Even at 2-0 down, I was still quite optimistic, and we're creating lots of chances. It's kind of been 5 or 6 at the end, and we created lots of chances at Bolton as well. So, to answer your question, I think, the worry at the moment is the injuries. We bring back players from injury, and of course they're not on good form, and that's when we suffer. And then when we have good players on good form like Diaby, then they get injured again. And I think this is the worry. If we didn't have this, then I think as Arsene always says, the mental strength of the side is quite promising.
Alongside the injuries, does the tendency to concede goals No matter who we're playing and how well we're playing, we have that tendency. Because, you know, you look back to the Blackburn game, for example, and we beat them 6-2. I mean, we scored six goals, but still let in two. We played very, very well that day, but still let in two goals.
Sure. Well, I think not having Song is an issue. I don't think Danielson can play defensive midfield at all. I'm even happy if we had someone like Coquelin or Craig Eastman in there when he's out. Or maybe even Diaby, who towards the end of the Bolton away game played in that role and did better. But I think when Danielson's there, basically opposition players get to run at our defence a lot more. I mean, it's an interesting one because people generally will agree that, you know, Vermaelen has been brilliant this season and Gallas has played very well and Sol's played well, and yet we concede a huge amount of goals. I think people have to look at our fullbacks, both of whom I think get away with a lot. We often give teams so much space wide and so much time to cross the ball, and it seems to be very easy to get inside our fullbacks as well, and I think that's where, you know, we keep being exposed. And yeah, it is a concern. I think even when we were winning, you know, the leagues in 2002 and 2004, we were very attacking, but we did defend an awful lot better than we do these days.
Without wanting to dwell on the negative side of things, we really have to do give credit, given all the injuries, given the fact we concede all these goals. We've come back from the end of November having lost against Chelsea, and now we're sitting top of the league, and to turn things around that quickly has been quite amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's I think one of the keys for us at the moment is just being able to keep hold of players. So the Wenger system does work. When he gets to keep players for a long time and keep them together, they do blend into something which is far above the sum of their parts. The two issues, you know, with this, when you lose players due to injury, it's eroded, and then more importantly, when you lose players in the summer, and people always banging on about Wenger, you know, signing more players, but, you know, the problem is we keep losing players every summer. We lose big name players, and when that doesn't happen, and we have some consistency in the side, you know, the results are there for everyone to see.
I think that's something they've tried to address, though, isn't it? When you look at the amount of players that have been given new contracts in the last nine months, you know, they've tried to address that. So if a player wants to leave, it's not necessarily as easy for him to do so. And we're not going to have situations like Flamini and Edu.
Well, the Flamini situation was... I don't think we being the fans, know how that happened. Maybe it was just Gazidis wasn't there. Our board was very light at the time. But yeah, the Flamini situation was completely unforgivable, and hopefully we're getting to the point where that doesn't happen. I was worried, I still partly am, about Gallas, but you know, we at least seem to be closing off these contracts with Itzky as well, as you say. So yeah, hopefully that side of things is improving. And it also helps when, you know, the players are just a little bit more committed, and you know, have people like Adebayor floating around, and we do seem to be a much happier squad now and a much more sort of loyal squad.
Okay, well, I'll touch some wood here while you say that. Let's talk about Cesc Fabregas. You mentioned that he had a crucial role to play, obviously, in both the Bolton games, but he really does seem to be playing the football of his career this season. I think it's 14, 15 goals for Arsenal already. There's some stat that he's been involved in 25 or 26 out of the 59 goals that we've scored this season. So keeping him fit and healthy.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
Is going to be crucial.
Yeah, absolutely. I was at Bolton, and yeah, it's a very strange part of the world, and obviously, you know, their football is, you know, it's not even football. They just fight, and it's a dingy little stadium. And, I mean, I came back thinking he shouldn't. Yeah, it's almost he shouldn't have been on that pitch. It's almost like I almost feel guilty that we put him through this. It's like you know, getting Shakespeare to write gossip columns at the Daily Star or something. It's exceptional. When you're at the game, you appreciate it even more than when you're just watching on TV. And one advantage is he's very young, and he obviously knows that Wenger's played a huge role in his career. So hopefully, yeah, A, he can stay fit, and B, he can stay with us for at least another 5 years, let's say.
All right, well, I could live with that, I have to say. Let's look ahead to the weekend. Obviously, the manager has got some decisions to make, because Stoke in the FA Cup is going to be a difficult game, and Stoke itself, the FA Cup represents a good chance of silverware. But having got to the top of the table, still in the Champions League, he might be tempted to not prioritise the FA Cup, but, you know, put it to one side a little bit. He will want to rest players, particularly as the Aston Villa game is coming up in midweek. But given the injury situation, it's not like he has a huge amount of rotating that he can do. So how do you expect him to approach things this weekend?
Ironically, I suppose sort of part of the injury situation helps here, because he'll want the players coming back to get first team football. So I think we're all expecting Walcott to start the game, or at least to feature for a large part of it. And the same goes for Danielson as well. I can see about last night. I moaned about him playing Danielson and to a certain extent Clichy, but I can see why he did it. He assumed we were going to win the game, and we need both of them match fit when the big games come along. So I expect both of those players to feature, and Theo as well. And I mean, I think we should, again, I'm tempting fate, but yeah, we should be able to go to Stoke and get a result, even with a few sprinkling of youngsters in the side. I think Eastman can play. I think there's still space there within the squad. You're right, it is looking thin in areas, but the games also aren't that compact at the moment. I think players, you know, should be able to go to Stoke and then come back and play in the league. It's not like we have a huge amount of congestion.
Mm. You talked about youngsters coming in, but maybe we might have a couple of oldsters coming in. I suppose there's every chance of a central defensive partnership of Saul Campbell and Mikhail Silvestre.
Indeed, yeah, that doesn't fill me with a huge amount of confidence. But I thought Silvestre was starting to look a bit better a couple of months ago, and he played some games at left back. And ironically, perhaps, given that he doesn't have the pace that he used to, I thought he looked better at left back than he had done at centre back, certainly when he played centre back last season. So maybe he has settled in. And with Campbell, my stance on Campbell is we don't know. I mean, it's not our time to. I'm not going to guess at what he's going to be like. I haven't seen him play football for about 11 months. Maybe he's been keeping fit, maybe he's been keeping sharp in training, and it'll work, maybe it won't work, I don't know. I mean, it's obviously we've got him for free, and I don't think we'll be paying him too much. But the risk is going out of the cup, so that's a little bit of a concern. But we'll just have to trust the boss.
All right, and finally, we'll just look ahead very briefly, if we can, to the Aston Villa game. It was only a couple of weeks ago when we played them as well. The fixtures seem to be coming quite quickly because we're going to play Liverpool again, and we've quite recently played them as well. Villa away, I suppose, will be a different proposition. They'll be buoyed by sticking six past Blackburn.
Yeah, it's an odd one. I'm almost not sure what to think about that Villa, and I've watched a couple of Villa games recently in the league, and they look like a side that can't score. At Bunhorn in the last league game was awful, and Heskey obviously is awful every minute that he's on a pitch. But I didn't see the Villa Blackburn game last night because I was watching ours. But perhaps that was just a one-off. It's a cup game. Blackburn are hopeless, etc. Of course, it will give them confidence. So yeah, it will be a harder game. We'll have to play it. Slightly different, but again, if we can keep our players fit, we should be fine. When we keep the ball, you know, Villa don't seem to have an answer to that. They really struggled, of course, you know, at our place last month. So that should be fine. I think one interesting point about the rest of this league season is, of course, we've got these big games coming up, but then after that, we've got a run of what should be coined easy games. In fact, our last 12 games, you know, Tottenham is arguably the only difficult one. So the question is, you know, do you win the league by beating the top teams, or do you win it by making sure that you sort of have a 10 game winning run against the lesser sides?
That is going to be interesting, that run in, of course. Well, look, we'll check back in as the season goes. Julian H from sure. Gingers Full Empire, thanks very much.
No, thank you. Cheers.
Thank you very much indeed to Julian H. from Gingers for Limpar. You can find that blog at gingersforlimpar.blogspot.com. That's gingersforlimpar.blogspot.com. I like it. I hope they write more often. Not that I'm trying to sway them in any way. You carry on doing what you're doing, but more would be good. But you're not there to please me. I understand that. So before we get on with the rest of the show, Sylvester.
Hello, everyone. It's me again, Sylvester. Can you believe we are top of the table? They wrote us all off after we lost against Chelsea. Now who's writing who off? I'm going around the place with my hand cupped to my ear going, who are you? I can't hear what you're saying. I'm very much enjoying this, even though I haven't really played very much. This is why I'm looking forward to the FA Cup this weekend against Stoke. And I will be in the center of the defense with Saul Campbell. You know, I've never played with Saul. Not outside the dressing room, anyway. Oh, my God!
Now, the transfer window is well and truly open, but the only signing Arsenal have made as yet is Saul Campbell. And we're all waiting and waiting and waiting for Arsene to spend some of that delicious money that he has. We know he's got it. We sold Toure and Adebayor. We know he's got money. But can he find the right player? There's rumours during the week about this guy Canales from Racing Santander. I suppose I could just barge in and make a whole lot of jokes about that, but I won't. He's only 18, though, so even if you do sign him, you know, he's not the experienced head to drive you over the line towards a title. There's talk about the guy from Wolfsburg, Dzeko, I don't know how you pronounce it. I'm sure someone will tell me. What was interesting was during the live blog on Wednesday night, which was quite good fun, I have to say, someone posted a text that was sent into the BBC for their kind of live text coverage that they do of all the games. And it said, oh, I'm sitting four rows behind Dzeko or whatever he's called. And someone reposted that there and people went, yeah, well, you know, yeah, bollocks. And then it was very interesting to see stories on prominent Arsenal websites as if there was some kind of inside information there. when it's just some asshole, or prankster, I should say. I don't know if the guy's an asshole or not, but certainly a prankster, just making something up and sending it to the BBC, and the BBC publishing it, and all of a sudden it goes all over the place. And this Arsene Wenger was missing from training story. Why do people think he's got to be signing a player because he's missing from training? He could be doing anything. And if he wanted to sign a player, surely he could do it after training. Because I have training in the morning. He's got the whole afternoon to go somewhere and sign a player. And even if we were going to sign a player, wouldn't we come to some kind of an agreement whereby the player would come to us? The first meeting wouldn't be somewhere else. It'd be at our training ground. So there's no need for Arsene Wenger to take the morning off. He could do his training, wander in. The guy and his agent are there, having been shown around, having a nice cup of coffee, sitting there with their shoes off in the Arsenal training ground, and then that's how you make the signing. So, I don't buy into that. I am a little concerned that, you know, there hasn't been any spending, because despite the fact we're top of the league, and having done it without the players that we've done it without, you just feel that, you know, if you went out and spent a few quid on maybe one or two players, it could really, really help boost the squad and get us over the injuries, or help us cope with all the injuries that we have, because at the moment it's like a merry-go-round. After one game you get, well, we've got this guy back and those two are out, and this one we don't know, and, well, you know, players getting injured in training, players getting injured in their sleep. Doesn't matter what we do, players are getting injured all the time. So they're coming and going. So, you know, maybe we just need those one or two players. So there's 9 or 10 days left in the transfer window. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that Arsene does something. Now, before we go ahead and look at the weekend's games and the team news and all that, Andrei Arshavin is here.
Hello, is Andrei Arshavin with an update on life? We played 2 games against Bolton and win 2 games. First time is in the north of England. For me is very beautiful. Remind me of Chernobyl. And second game we play at home. And in first half we don't play so good. They scored 2 goals, but then Rosicky score goal and Cesc score goal. Later Vermaelen score goal, and eventually I score goal for first time in many matches. Of course, I'm very happy, and maybe I could score another goal. I am 1-1 with the goalkeeper. And as I am about to shoot, I am hearing terrible noise in my head. Is, oh, pass the ball to me, pass ball to me. I am Theo Walcott, pass ball, pass ball. How is anybody supposed to make goal with this terrible noise in head? So after game, he said to me, why not pass ball? Why not pass ball to me? It's easy goal. And I say, look, if you want ball, ask properly. Ask like man. I shoving not pass ball to man who sound like a woman. I think he cry a little, but this is not my problem.
Thank you very much indeed, Andrei Arshavin. Now, coming up at the weekend, FA Cup action against Stoke City away at the Britannia Stadium on Sunday. I suppose it would have been better to have the game on Saturday because we'd have more time to recover then for the midweek game, but obviously Arsene Wenger has to bear that in mind. We've got a league game away at Villa Park on Wednesday. So whatever team he picks, I don't know, he's got to try and rest a few players. Diaby and Sanya are both out. Diaby's going to miss the Villa game too. He's got a calf problem. He'll go for a scan. Sanya has got a bad shoulder. If you notice, he hasn't been taking any of the throw-ins. Because he's hurt his shoulder, obviously. So they're going to give him a rest. Who plays at right back is beyond me. You're looking at somebody like Kyle Bartley or Coquelin coming in to play at right back. Because Correa Gilbert has gone to Peterborough, I think. Yes, I think it's Peterborough on loan for the rest of the season. So he was the obvious replacement after Eboué, who of course is away on African Cup of Nations duty. So in the centre of defence, you would think Sol Campbell and Silvestre would do the business with Traore at left back. However, I just read somewhere not 2 minutes ago that Campbell has hurt his neck in training. So they're unsure of whether or not he's going to be fit to play, which is an auspicious start to his latest Arsenal journey, isn't it? That would mean then playing either one of Gallus or Vermaelen. And really, those two guys probably need a rest. Even just one game would do him good, or both of them good, I think. Bad news for Kieran Gibbs. The first operation that he had in his broken foot has not gone well. And he's going to need another one, which means he's out for the rest of the season. We won't see him again until next season, which is a real shame for us and a real shame for him. That little competition we had there at left back was good. Traore's been unconvincing, and so it's a bit of a shame, but fingers crossed it'll all work out. I think it was a similar kind of injury to what Clichy had a few years ago, so hopefully he can come through it, and we'll see more of him next season. So how the manager switches it around, you have to think Walcott is going to play on Sunday, Carlos Vela is going to play, but then you're looking at no Ramsey, no Wilshire as far as I know, no Nasri, Morita, we don't know. So guys that could come in and stake a claim and show what they can do are going to miss out through injury, which is a big shame. So quite how young he dares to go is another thing. Momentum is all important. Keeping the winning run going is important. And, of course, the FA Cup represents a good chance of silverware. We are top of the league. We're still in the Champions League. And obviously, there's a lot of football to come in the next few weeks, particularly at the top of the league table. It would be unwise, I think, to throw away the FA Cup. I don't think he's going to do that, but he really does have to weigh up and balance the options ahead of the Villa game, and of course, the fact that we've got Manchester United next weekend. So there you go. So yeah, it should be fun. Cup football, of course, not quite as pressured, so we can kind of enjoy this weekend. I do hope we go through, because I do like the FA Cup. I guarantee it'll be Bolton. If we go through and Bolton go through, I guarantee you it'll be Bolton at their place at the Reebok Stadium. I might put some money on that, if someone will give it to me. So until next week's Arsecast, we'll leave it there. Have yourselves a very good weekend. Talk to you all next week on the blog. Until then, bye-bye.
Are you a moderately successful football club, capable of the odd final, never going to win the league but going along okay? Well, how would you like to be broke? That's right, it's easy. Just call us and we'll come in, do a job, and within months of leaving, you'll find yourself insolvent, unable to pay your players, facing bankruptcy and a winding up order from the revenue, and on the brink of relegation. It's amazing. For more details and our brochure, call Redknapp Finance today on 1-800-200-300. Redknapp Finance is regulated by the Financial Twitulator.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.